It is officially time for the 2025 Toronto Blue Jays season. Buckle up. Good evening, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 25th, and welcome to episode 240 of Buds and Blue Jays. It's your place for all things related to the Toronto Blue Jays. We are full house on the show today. Jesse Burrell joined by Jesse Tricio and David Fulton. And today on our episode, we are doing our official 2025 Toronto Blue Jays season preview. We're going to discuss the opening day roster, whether or not the Blue Jays did the right moves by taking the guys north that they did. We'll discuss a lot on that. We're going to touch on Alejandro Kirk's extension going into the season. And then we have 20 burning questions for the Toronto Blue Jays this season, which will give us a full, clear picture of what to look for the Toronto Blue Jays season. But guys, before we get into all the good stuff that is going to be this season, how are you guys? Are you guys excited for Blue Jays baseball? It's almost here. The offseason's over. How are we feeling, boys?
Couldn't be more excited. Finally, some meaningful baseball for the first time since last May. So what? As the new song is, let's light it up.
Let's light it up. Dave, how are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling good. Feeling good. It's finally upon us. It's nice to get things going because this is where a lot of the speculation gets to end and we just figure out what's happening. So let's get into it.
Guys, I am so ready for the ride of the roller coaster. The Blue Jays, how we won spring training. We've got the golden grapefruit. The vibes are already immaculate for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. It's going to be a great season. And I want you to remember, I just said that when it's like the middle of June and we're 10 games below 500 and it's all going to hell. Just remember how good the vibes are right now. But gentlemen, without further ado, let's just dive into the core of the episode here. And let's start with what is the opening day roster? And for those of you who might be living under a rock, I'm going to read out the roster position by position, and then I'm going to come to you two for surprises here. Behind the plate, should surprise nobody, we've got Alejandro Kirk. Tyler Heineman did win that backup catcher role, so he will be the catcher number two behind Alejandro Kirk. In the infield, we have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Will Wagner, Andrés Giménez, Bo Bichette, Ernie Clement, and I put Davis Schneider as an infielder for the sake of this exercise. In the outfield, George Springer, Alan Roden, Anthony Santander, Miles Straw, and Nathan Lucas are all on the opening day roster. Our starting pitchers, Kevin Gausman, Berríos, Max Scherzer, Chris Bassett, Bowden Francis, no surprises there. And in the bullpen, Jeff Hoffman, Jimmy Garcia, Chad Green, Nick Sandlin, Brandon Littell, Richard Lovelady, Jacob Barnes, and Yariel Rodriguez makes up our 26-man opening day roster with Dalton Varsho, Ryan Burr, Eric Swanson, Zach Pop, and others on the IL going into the season. So guys, a lot of news when this came out that the Blue Jays made their opening day roster. A lot of different ways we could take this. I'll start with you, Jesse. Give me your what surprised you the most about this group of players that the Blue Jays are taking north?
That there's no mention of Addison Barger in this lineup. That was the biggest shock. I mean, he was the top two in OPS in spring. Yes, stats don't really matter, but when you're the top two in OPS, only behind the phenom of Alan Rowan from this spring, like, you would think he would be on the roster, especially if Ernie Clement goes down. Who's going to be our third baseman? Are we going to have Schneider there? Are we going to have, or is it Wagner's job?
Probably. I mean, if that were the case where, like, say, Ernie Clement did get hurt, then you're probably going to see either Aravis or you'll see Addison Barger come up. John Schneider did talk that he seems Addison Barger is probably more of an outfielder now. They're kind of limiting his spots at third base, and he's going to spend a lot more time in the outfield. My point with Addison Barger not being on the roster, imagine being him, a guy who spent most of the year on the Blue Jays last year, having this spring training that you just had, literally the second best hitter on the whole team, and being told you're still not good enough to be on this team right now. That's got to be a tough pill to swallow if you're Addison Barger. That's got to hurt. Dave, do you have a thought on Barger being left off the roster?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little surprising. Admittedly, I don't think I'm as surprised as either of you were, not because I don't think that Barger is a good option. I think he is. And especially considering how good of a spring that he had, you would figure that he would make it. Like, I'm not sure I buy 100% Schneider's rationale for keeping him off. From what I understand, it was essentially, well, third base is a logjam, so we'd be putting him in the outfield. And if we put him in the outfield, the outfield's a logjam too, so he's not going to get much playing time. So I kind of get that. I'm not as upset about it, I don't think, because I do think that he is going to be the first guy back up now that the roster's set. I think he's clearly, if not the top option, then one of the top options to tap in if a guy is on the downswing or if someone gets injured. Unfortunately, I think we'll see him sooner rather than later. So hopefully this doesn't derail his momentum too much.
Yeah, and you want to see this. Like, if you're Addison Barger, you want to go down there and you want to tell the front office, be like, next time I get called up, I'm staying here for good. Don't ever send me down again. And plus, too, like, when you think about the outfielders we did put on this team, Miles Straw, Nathan Lucas, don't necessarily need everyday at-bats. They're more your prototypical bench guy. Alan Roden, who we'll get to in a little bit, might need more of those at-bats. And essentially, the Blue Jays chose Alan Roden over Addison Barger. And that's essentially what happened here. I wish we could take both. I really do, because I really do think both players are going to be very good players. Jesse, we're Barger boys. Like, we've always loved Addison Barger. I still think there was a very good player in there. Blue Jays aren't giving up on him. He's going to have a very important role this season. It's just, it kind of sucks for him that he won't be part of the opening day festivities.
No, definitely. And, like, it almost reminds me of another AL East team in with the Orioles, of what they have done with Colby Mayo. But again, this is not an Orioles podcast, but it's a very similar situation there. But I still think Barger could be a future MVP. I am a Barger boy. Oh, and I feel like if he comes up, when he does, it's going to be exactly what Horowitz did last year, where, like, we bring him up, hopefully not too late, like we did with Horowitz, and he'll just hit the cover off the ball and just be that star that I know he could be, and why I call myself, we call ourselves the Barger Boys.
Okay, I love that. It'll be very exciting to see later in the season. Dave, give us your initial thoughts about the opening day roster. What surprised you the most coming out of spring here?
Not a ton, really. I mean, I think if you look back, there's a few interesting ones in the bullpen. I don't know. I know we talked a little bit about, like, maybe Lovelady is the one that is in that eighth spot. So that was a little bit of a surprise. And Yarbrough not being on this was a bit of a surprise to me, given that we don't really have a ton of lefties to work with. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I think Brendan Little's pretty good, but having two lefties is better than having one, in my opinion. But apart from those, and I guess, like, I have such a hard time caring about Miles Straw. Like, I don't have anything against a guy. I look at guys like that and I'm like, I'm going to see you for the eighth and ninth innings of blowouts, and that's it. To play
the defense. Kevin Kiermaier role of last
literally year. Yeah, I mean, and Kiermaier was actually Bradley Zimmer's a great comp, because Kiermaier at least still had some offensive pop. Bradley Zimmer, I remember him almost not at all for the time that he was on the Blue Jays. I remember watching him hit a home run, and everything else about him on his tenure was a blur. So I'm anticipating that Miles Straw is going to be that guy for me, where every once in a while he'll get subbed in the eighth inning for defensive center field. I'll be, oh yeah, Miles Straw's on the team, and that's it. So apart from that, though, like I say, I think everybody that is on the roster otherwise definitely earned a spot. I mean, apart from Barger, arguably. So, yeah.
Okay, guys, we have to talk Alan Roden. Are you kidding me here? Like, 9 minutes into the show, we have yet to speak about Alan Roden making this team. What a spring he had, from Ross Atkins calling him out at the start of spring for him doing what he did this spring. I could just go out and read out his stat line, what he produced. It wouldn't even do its justice. I think the biggest thing I like the most is he walked twice as much as he struck out, and the contact profile is immaculate. If you look up some of his StatCat stats, it is red everywhere on the barrel. Great bat control he has too. He hits the ball in the air to the pole side. He does a little bit of absolutely everything. And he straight out came out and won a spot on the roster. John Schneider said in the telecast today that, or I guess the last game they played, that Alan Roden's also gonna play. Like, they're not bringing him up just to sit here and ride the pine. Like, Alan Roden is probably going to be in there against almost every single right-handed pitcher they see. And Baltimore's got a lot of them. So I think we're going to see quite a bit of Alan Rodon, maybe even in center field, because we saw him get into there a little bit in spring. And if it's going to be him and Miles Straw platooning a little bit in the outfield with Nathan Lucas getting in there that bit as well. I don't know, guys. Like, I want you to give me like a hype check here on Alan Rodon. What are we expecting from the rookie here this season?
I don't want to go too high, but like if he continues this and all, like he can perform, play defense, and doesn't really have that like rookie slump like how we saw with the young kids last year, AL Rookie of the Year potential right there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of names, but like all he's got to do is just keep doing what he did this spring, and you could see it. Dave, give me your thoughts on him.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, I don't know if there's much else I can say, because just a couple episodes ago when I was here filling in for Jesse, I was gushing about him. I couldn't get enough of the guy. Everything I was seeing out of spring training, I said at the time, this guy has the chance to be the best rookie on the team, if not one of the best rookies in the American League, and I stand by that. I mean, again, we'll have to wait and see. Because obviously the longer we get into the season, the better we're going to know. But if he keeps this momentum up and keeps playing the way that we've been seeing him, he has every chance of being in that conversation for Rookie of the Year in the American League. And unquestionably the best rookie that we've had on the team, not just this year, but in quite a few years, like since the original group of guys came up with Vlad and Bo and Cavan and all those guys coming up all at the same time. Like who's a better rookie since then? Right. That's a
great question. I was actually going to say, Dave, fill in the blank. Alan Rodon will be the best rookie since blank. Blue Jays rookie since blank.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those guys. It's got to be. Yeah. I don't know if he's on the same plane as Vlad. That's a really tough comparison to make. But best rookie since Bo, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And Bo was dynamite the second half of 2019. So he was very good. I think that's a good call. If not, are we going back to like Eric Hinsky in the early 2000s? Like that's how long it's been.
Or Kevin Pillar and all that.
Yeah, like there's not a lot of ton of names. So sprinkle in your bets on Alan Rodon. Guys, does Alan Rodon crack your opening day lineup on Thursday? Is he in there against Zach Eflin, the righty?
He has to be with like what he's done for the fans and like the hype everyone has around him. Like everyone wants to see Rodon. Like I'm ready to buy his jersey once I saw his number revealed.
So he's in left field then, Santander's your DH, and then you go? No Will Wagner then in this scenario?
It'd be nice to see Wagner, but Rodon deserves to be there opening day just from this spring and the hype that it has and probably the buzz that's going around about him. So it's like, does Schneider really want us to hate him all first game of the year, not putting him in the lineup?
We will find a way. John Schneider actually talked quite a bit too about he thinks he should do more platoon advantages, set his pitchers more with all that stuff. So I think we're going to see even more of crazy lineups, different hitters hitting on different things. And I can't wait to gripe about it later on the show. Dave, you talked a little bit about the Ryan Yarbrough decision. Now, it seems like he opted out of his contract. He is officially a New York Yankee. So we will now try to hit off Ryan Yarbrough. I don't know exactly what happened here, but it sounds to me like the Blue Jays told Yarbrough and his camp that he was not going to be on this opening day roster. So he exercised his opt-out and looked for other teams to sign with. And sure enough, the Yankees signed him off of a big string. Do you think it was a good decision by the Toronto Blue Jays to not include Ryan Yarbrough on this roster, if that was the case?
Probably not. I don't think it's a great decision. Do I think that Ryan Yarbrough is some exceptional pitcher? No. But do I think that he's competent? Yes. So I always hate to see when you have a pitcher who you know what he can bring to the table and they're letting him go. I guess I'll hear the argument that he wouldn't have made the roster otherwise, but I'm looking at who made the roster and I'm like, are any of these people that are at the bottom half of this list demonstrably better than right. Ryan Yarbrough? I don't know. I don't think so. I didn't see anything that would suggest that that's the case. I mean, like I say, like Jacob Barnes and Richard Lovelady were not blowing my socks off in spring training. I mean, granted, Yarbrough wasn't either, but he's more of a known quantity, in my opinion, than either of those two are. So, yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily, I don't think it's a backbreaking decision. I don't think if your season hinges on whether Riarbro's in the pen or not, I think we have bigger problems. But apart from it not being a backbreaker decision, I still don't like it that much.
Yeah. Like, if you had to put an, like, I think the decision here came down to the Blue Jays really want to use that last spot on the roster to kind of churn through some names. They have a lot of like non-roster guys coming through. They have a lot of guys at the back end of their bullpen. And I think they told Ryan Yarbrough that they can't guarantee him having a last spot on this roster. And I think that's kind of dumb. Like, look, he went to free agency. He tested the market. He couldn't find a major league deal. So the market kind of tells you what you are about a player here. But also too, like, he had what, a 3.14 ERA last year? Like, I know he throws an 85 mile per hour fastball, but he has been effective. He's had a good major league career. And the Blue Jays bullpen, for how bad as it was the last few years, I do think they are going to miss out on not having Ryan Yarbrough on this team. And I think that is a mistake. Jesse, do you have a thought on that?
No, definitely. Like, the only thing that really enticed me of Richard Lovely is calling him Dick Lovely. Cause... but, like, realistically, like, Yarbrough is statistically the slowest pitcher, like, with velocity as well. Mm-hmm. I understand why they didn't, because this time of year, like, I don't think they need two long men, especially with Yario in the bullpen right now. So if it was like a different time of the year, maybe I would be fine with having two long men. But right now, it's like, do we really need two long men in the bullpen?
This does solidify then that Yariel Rodriguez's role is now definitely that long man. He's going to continue to be stretched out, and Jays kind of need him to be good and consistent and to find the strike zone more to be able to eat innings, because now his role has stepped up even further. Any more thoughts on the bullpen, the late edition guy? Jacob Barnes, guys, not that good this spring, but he was effective for the Nationals last year, and the Blue Jays seem to like his pitch mix stuff. Do anyone have a quick thought on Jacob Barnes? Or is it just like he's here until Ryan Burr, Eric Swanson are ready, and then he's off the roster?
That's what I really think. Both Lovely and Barnes are here until Swanson and Burr are back, or we claim someone off waiver in the next few days.
Right. Okay. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't remember if it was the last episode I was on or if it was the pitching specific episode that I was here for. But I think we speculated at the time that the final spot or the final two spots in the bullpen were going to be basically a revolving door to see what we have in guys, and then if someone plays well enough, they're gonna stick in one of those positions, and that certainly appears to be the case. So I'm interested to see what they do once the season gets underway, but I'm not going to miss them if they get rotated back out when guys are healthy again, or they want to give a guy from AAA a shot.
Makes a lot of sense. And we already know that the 13 pitchers the Blue Jays have on the roster right now will not be the 13 pitchers that stick with us through the course of the season. So stay tuned for that. There'll be a lot more names. And if you were to guess that Jose Kwas would have gotten to games last year, that would have been a surprise to everyone involved. So we will see. Guys, one more big piece of Blue Jays news is that our catcher Alejandro Kirk has signed to a 5-year extension, $85 million. It's $3 million more, and albeit a decade later, than what Russell Martin signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. Guys, not the extension we thought we were going to be getting this spring, but still a very key extension for Alejandro Kirk, making him a Blue Jay for the next 5 years at least. He is the third player that the Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro group has given an extension for 3+ years, joining Jose Berríos and Randall Grichuk. Guys, thoughts on the move? Jesse, we'll start with you on Kirk's extension.
I definitely think it's one of the right extensions other than the two we've been wanting to see all offseason. But no, definitely a key part, because if you really look at the nuances of it, and it's a good value, because you see what like the league catchers like Realmuto, Salvador Perez, and all, even what Cal Raleigh just signed for. Like, this is a steal for what Kirk provides, especially with his numbers coming into this spring compared to last year where he had the late start. Definitely well deserved as well. If you look in our depth, we don't have anyone. I think the only other catcher, the catching prospect we have right now would be Jacob Sharp, and he's still a ways away. So,
and he's older than you think he is. So, yeah, it makes sense with the lack of catching the Blue Jays had, that they were given the full reins to Alejandro Kirk. It makes sense. Dave, thought on the Kirk extension?
Yeah, I think it's the right move. Sorry about that. My alarms went off. I think it's the right move. I don't hate the number. 58 million feels like a good amount. 5 years feels like a good amount to kind of evaluate where you are after that amount of time, especially at a position where it is so much a question mark once the guy gets to about 30, whether they're going to continue to catch or not. You know what I mean? So I think it makes a ton of sense. And I think really, if you can continue to get the kind of good defensive play that you expect from him, the really good framing data, especially at the bottom of the zone that we've been seeing from him, and you get a bit of a return to form offensively, I think that has every chance of being a very, very valuable contract for them to keep a guy like this fairly cost controlled for five seasons.
Yeah, I've been talking up Alejandro Kirk forever. Like, the contract isn't crazy because it doesn't prevent you from doing anything else. It's not like a burden on your franchise or anything here. And also, too, guys, like, Alejandro Kirk has been improving so much. His defense behind the plate has got so good. His bat speed has gotten better. He started running faster. He started throwing harder. Like, he tore down the trough, for goodness sake. Like, Alejandro Kirk has been phenomenal, and I'm glad they got this deal done now when they did, because you run the risk of him putting together what we all think here, at least I know Jesse and I think, is going to be the best year yet of his career, and then having to cost him even more money. Getting this deal done, I think, is an A+ no-brainer for the Toronto Blue Jays, and I'm happy to see that. All right, guys, any last thoughts on opening day roster? Opening day starter, for example, is Jose Berríos the right move here before we get into our burning questions?
I wouldn't pick any other one after, like, other than Don Francis, but I feel like that'll be next season for him.
Yeah, he's still maybe a bit away. Gausman was probably the other choice if it wasn't Berríos. And I think this will be Jose Berríos' second with the Blue Jays, and like maybe fourth if you include his time with the Minnesota. So quite a bit, yeah. All right. Guys, let's get into it. Let's get into the 20 burning questions we have for the Toronto Blue Jays this season. And guys, we're going to cover a little bit of everything, a little bit of all players. But I think after all 20 of these things, we don't have to go into too much detail through all these here, but I think they will cover basically every single storyline that we can get from the Toronto Blue Jays this season. And the first one, guys, every team, every sports team, not just baseball, rides on the event of your star player. So the first question I have in this 20 burning questions are, will we get MVP caliber seasons from Vladdy and or Bo? And Dave, we'll start with you. What are we going to get from these two key players from the Toronto Blue Jays this year?
I think it's a bit of a question mark for Bo. I'd love it if that was the case. But it's so murky for him just because there's been so much swirling around him and what the heck was last season. You know what I mean? So I don't feel a ton of confidence to say that that's the case. But especially given the contract situation with Vlad, it wouldn't shock me at all if he has an MVP caliber season, because that is exactly the kind of medicine that we'd be forced to take. You know, I've said it many times. If we didn't sign him 4 years ago, we should have signed him before the offseason. So,
right.
Excuse me. So if he does have an MVP caliber season, I would expect it to be him. And
Jesse, Bo, Vlad, what should our expectations be for these players on the field this year?
If Bo keeps playing like how he did in spring this year, then like if he wants like a foreshadow of the season, we could have two MVP caliber players, especially contract years, but I just see more Vladdy having possibly be the MVP this year, with like, especially with, if you listen to the bold predictions, what I think he'll do. But if they are having that season, but the team isn't good, I can see him just using that for our advantage at the deadline.
How worried are we about Vlad having a season like he had in 2022 and 2023, where he was good but not so great? Are we worried that that might be on the horizon here for Vlad?
I do have that worry, but it's like, because if you look at his career, it's like he's only had two really good seasons. So it's like, is he just going to be like a happy medium of those for his career, or are we going to get what he had last year in 21?
It'd be very interesting to see. I think the Blue Jays, if they want to get to where they say they want to go, then having that WRC plus of like 160 Vlad that we saw in 2024 and in 2021 needs to be there. I don't think the Blue Jays are getting there without that. So that guy needs to be here, and it's going to be one of the most pressing issues. Dave, Bo Bichette, just real quick before we move on to the next one here. We knew who he was for the last 3 years. He was a stud. He was leading the American League in hits last year. Dreadful. Springs look good. Exit velocity numbers have been good this spring. What do you expect from Bo Bichette on the field this spring or this season? Sorry.
I think it's going to be more of a return to form based on what I've seen so far and what I'm kind of hoping is going to be the case, because I think we have enough data at this point to say that the Bo from 2 seasons ago and 3 seasons ago and 4 seasons ago is more him than what was going on last year. Last year seems to have just kind of been this weird anomaly for him. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's back to form. So not necessarily an MVP caliber type of season, but a very useful, very productive season that we're used to seeing from him apart from last year.
Okay, and we will take that. And with that, that'll kind of lead me into my second burning question for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. Will either of these players get an extension this season? Jesse, your bold prediction was we would sign both by opening day, and you've got about 36 hours left on the clock for that bold prediction to come true. Guys, Dave, we'll start with you because I don't know if we have your thoughts yet. Will we get an extension with one or both of these players before the season's done? It'll be a storyline all throughout the year.
At this point, I have to say no, and I don't want that to be the answer. But my thought was that Bo was going to be a no no matter which way we sliced it. And now that it's not done for Vlad by this point, I don't know. I mean, there's an argument to be made that it gets done mid-season if he's like going superhuman level and it's like, oh crap, we have to sign him right now or it's going to get even worse. Maybe, but it certainly to me seems to be swinging towards more no for both of them, that we're going to get to the end of the season and be like, you know, are we keeping both? And if not, which one? Right.
What do you guys take from Mark Shapiro's comments the other day about we are quite certain? He didn't say certain, but like we are quite confident that we can get a deal done with Vlad. Do you guys take anything away from this?
I think it's more for the positive, where because he's the higher up, like he's like he'll go to Rogers, be like, give me the $600 million before deferrals, so we can have him here. And I'm still going to go for my bold prediction that we're going to get a surprise press conference at probably 11 o'clock or noon on opening day with them both signed.
Wouldn't that be a hell of a way to ring an opening day with a nice Vladimir Guerrero Jr. extension? God, I'm with you, Dave. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. But, Jesse, I would love it so much if we were able to get that through Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We will see. All right, guys. Next burning question for the Toronto Blue Jays this year, and we've kind of already touched on this one, but what will Alan Rodon's impact be on this team? And I bring this up because the Blue Jays kind of need that spark from somebody else in this roster. It still feels like a roster that's one bat short, and Alan Rodon could be that player that gets us into it. Guys, how will he impact this team? Whoever wants to go first, take it away.
I mean, it's really tough to say at this point in time. That being said, if he can continue to have the kind of momentum that he's built up for himself, if he continues to come as advertised from what we've seen out of spring training, I don't know if any of us are suggesting that he's going to be hitting 400 deep into May, but
of course,
but if he's still playing to that same caliber and he's keeping the walks up, the strikeouts down, is consistently getting on base, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. I know I said on the previous episode I was on, if we can have one or especially two credible threats at the plate on either side of Vlad Jr., that's going to unlock another level for him. And if Alan Rodon continues to play the way that he has, he can absolutely be one of those guys where you get into the season and it's like, we didn't know who this guy was before right now, but now we have to really think about game planning for him. And that makes everyone's on the other side of the on the other side job a lot more difficult if you have to work around him. And you would hope that you have one other guy that's really, really going hot. And it's like, what do we do? Who do we pitch to here? Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of impact that he can have if he continues to play the way that he has been.
Yeah, Alan Rodon is going to get at bats. He's going to get pitched to. He's got to make sure he can do damage on the pitches he gets, or else You know, it's hitting in the majors is hard, and we've seen even the best prospects in baseball struggle a little bit. So we kind of want to see Alan Roden hit the ground running here. Jesse, do you have a thought on Alan Roden and what to expect from him this season?
Well, definitely. I really could see him being that leadoff hitter that we haven't had in years, especially with his on-base percentage of contact. And having him there could really set the table. You have Bo right behind him, who's a similar style, but with more swing and miss. And you got the Thumpers in Vladdy and Santander at 4, 3-4. That could be a good start of top 5. The Jays had back in 21 when we had prime Springers, then you had Simeon and Bo, then Vlad. It could be a good table setter for that bottom order. And even with the bottom of our order, it would be 1-9 that could cause damage, not just Vladdy.
If he struggles to start the year, how long do you ride with him before sending him down? 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Do you give him a few months? How long is it going to be?
I think that's going to depend somewhat on where the Jays are.
500. We're a 500 team.
If we're a 500 team,
3.5 games out of the last wild card spot,
I'd say he probably gets a month around there. I think he's earned enough runway to go for about a month if the team is not underwater, but not exactly knocking anyone, knocking their socks off or anything like that. If the team is underwater, then it's going to be, okay, no, as soon as you're not performing, you're off the roster or you're on the bench, whatever the case may be. And if they're performing really well, then he gets as much runway as he wants until he plays himself off the roster. So.
It makes sense. John Schneider did say too that Alan Roden is going to get a run here. And they are going to try to take these wins, especially in April, very, very seriously here. Guys, moving along to the next burning question, number 4 here. Is there anything left in George Springer's bat, or has Father Time come for everybody? Jesse, we'll start with you here. What's left in George Springer?
I definitely think Father Time's caught his bat, and even his, obviously his hair, but that's here nor there. But I should say it's not here with all the little hair he has. But no, I feel like if he is hitting, has maybe 520 to 450 OPS by by the middle of May, I feel like he's going to be your bullpen potentially long gone in DFA and on the Jose Abreu Island.
Yeah, you think it seems to be that way. Dave, what do you have on George Springer here?
It's tough. It's just, you hate to see a guy on the decline, but I mean, that is the reality of the situation. I sincerely hope that he does have something left in there, because if he doesn't, he's still playing competent defense, but the less that we see out of that bat, the more he becomes a Miles Straw, and that's a guy that you don't play very often, and it's sad to see a guy that's been so good for so long end up in that situation. I mean, as often as that does happen to guys. So I think there's some juice left in there. I think it's just a question of, at this point, we have to kind of maximize his deployment to a certain extent. I know he wants to get out there as much as he can, but I also know that he is sensitive to the fact that his body isn't holding up quite as well anymore, and he isn't quite as capable as he used to be. So I'm hoping they can kind of meet in the middle, of kind of a happy middle ground, and say, okay, you're not going to get as much playing time as you used to, but we're going to try and do that strategically so that we can get as much out of you as possible.
Do you think John Schneider, though, for lack of a better term, has the balls to bench George Springer if he's not hitting well? Or is he going to be up there top 5 on this team in at-bats again? Because I don't think he does. I don't think John Schneider has what it takes to tell George Springer that you're not hitting, you can't play right now. I think he's going to just run him out there still because, veteran experience, the guy's done it before, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And he believes our analytics are going to hit a hot spell and the Khakis will tell him to play him.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Same question I asked with Alan Roden. How long does George Springer have to struggle for before we sit him or send him down or do something with him? How long is that? It's probably longer than the month we're giving Alan Roden, correct?
Maybe, probably yes, but it probably shouldn't be the case. Yeah. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, this is essentially the same conversation that we had about Chris Bassitt. Dude loves to go out there and munch as many innings as he possibly can. But if he continues to progress in the way that we saw last year, you are going to have to at some point have that conversation with him and say, listen, man, you just aren't what you used to be. And that's just unfortunately how it is. So we have to do something about your deployment, or this is going to just, like, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. So I'm hoping that he either returns to form or that it happens quickly enough that it forces Schneider's hand, that he doesn't have a choice but to have that conversation early in the year. And then that kind of takes the sting out of it, so that if there are other guys in the similar position, then he can be like, listen, man, I sat George Springer. You don't get to tell me no.
Great, good. And I hate that that's what it's going to have to take for this to happen, but it's absolutely, you're right, David. And I kind of hope the worst thing is he'll be cold for a while, and then, oh, we'll have a 2-home run game, but, you know, 2 solo shots, and then he's cold for 2 weeks, and then, oh, he shows a sign of life. Like, that is the last thing that can happen, because it's going to ultimately sink this team. All right, we got a lot more burning questions to get through. Let's roll this with pace. The big trade the Blue Jays made this offseason was acquiring second baseman Andrés Giménez from the Cleveland Guardians, and my simple question is, how much of an impact will Andrés Giménez make on the team this year? Jesse, start with you.
Like I said before, I feel like it's going to be the second coming of Robbie when it comes to second base defense, and his impact is going to be huge. It may not always be with the bat, but definitely with the platinum level, like platinum gloves defense, and just even seeing what he's done this spring with the base running and stealing, he's going to be, if it isn't Vlad, he'll be the MVP of the team with what he will provide.
Finish this sentence. Andrés Giménez is the top blank hitter on the Toronto Blue Jays this year.
5.
Okay, Dave?
I'm comfortable with 5.
Okay, so he's going to be, who's your 4 then? Because I'm assuming Vlad, Bo, and Santander are 1 through 3. Is 4 Rodon? Is 4 Wagner? Is, like, who's 4? Is it Springer? Like, who's 4?
Kirk?
Good guess, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't honestly be shocked if it was Rodon. I know I'm super bullish on him, but he has the potential for that kind of impact.
So a good season then for Andrés Giménez is probably hitting what, like 280? I know Tirso predicted 20 in his bold predictions. I think 10 to 15 is more likely. 30 stolen bags. Combine that with the elite defense he gives you. Is that what we're hoping for Andrés Giménez?
Definitely. I feel like a lot of his 2022 season where he was a 7-WAR player could return, especially with what Popkins has done with a lot of our hitters in spring. Like, I feel like it's really, he could turn the table back to that.
Noted. Excellent. I love that. Next burning question for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. Who stabilizes the third base spot? Because right now, Ernie Clement is projected to get the most playing time there, but it can kind of be a revolving door with a lot of names, guys. Answer this. By the end of the season, the Blue Jays will have a full-time, everyday third baseman. True or false?
True.
And who's your prediction on who that guy is?
I feel like it really depends on, like, where we are in the season. If we're in the playoff hunt and we need that bat, I feel like the Jays make the trade for Alex Bohm.
Are you, you're saying it's from outside the organization still, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I like how you're calling your shot, too. That's great.
And if it's a prospect, it's going to be McAdoo.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
I want it to be Clement, so yes. I'd prefer if we just left him alone there. I know Wagner's competent at it, but I still think he's a better second baseman than he is a third baseman. So I'd love for him to play the majority of his playing time at second. I know it's been a logjam for a while with the situation there, but I'm hopeful that yes, and it will probably be Ernie.
Yeah, and the real question is, this is going to be the spot on the roster the Blue Jays use to kind of bring guys up and move them around. I do think Orelvis Martinez, if he can keep hitting, if he gets back in the kind of the Blue Jays good books here, he could be a real candidate to take the spot. Very interesting to see, because somebody's going to get the opportunity, and we want to see somebody run with it at third base. Very interesting storyline to watch this year. Next question, guys. New free agent addition, Anthony Santander. Tony Taters, as the streets are calling him here. How much of a difference will his power actually make in this lineup? Dave, we'll start with you. You can go first.
I think it has. I mean, it's a similar situation to Roden. I think that the power is something that we've been sorely lacking, especially from lefty bats. And so if we can, even, you know, lefty, righty, whatever the case may be, as long as we can get some credible threats in the lineup around Vlad, that's going to make everyone's life easier, not just Vlad's. So I think his impact is going to be significant in the lineup, in the sense that, especially if he's starts the season off, you know, not even hot necessarily, but, you know, continues apace, then it's going to be a question of, oh, okay, now we have two or maybe even three guys at the top of this rotation, or at the top of this lineup rather, that we really have to game plan. And the more guys that you add into that mix, the harder it becomes. So I think, you know, if he can be the 30-40 home run guy, that's huge, no matter where you put him in the lineup.
And Jesse?
Oh, definitely. His power will definitely be a huge impact. Something we've been missing since Teo left. Give it that protection to Vladdy, where pitchers have to really decide, are we going to pitch to Vladdy, or are we going to get punched by Tony Taters, or even pitch to Bo? Like, just having that extra power bat will provide so much depth and like opportunities for Vladdy, Bo, and even down the order too.
Gentlemen, I love it. Give me each just a number. How many home runs does Anthony Santander hit this year? Dave?
38.
Jesse?
I'll go with my bold prediction still, 48.
Jesus, that's still insane to me. I'm going to go 36, but he'll get more doubles this year than he had in the years past. And I think the OPS itself will be higher his first year here. All right, guys, next question. Who will be the Blue Jays impact player off the bench this season? And this kind of does turn hand in hand with the third base dilemma, because these guys are going to kind of rotate in and out. I think basically what I'm asking here is, out of the guys like your Addison Barger, like your Davis Schneider, like your Alan Roden, like your Ernie Clement, like all these guys, include Joey Loperfido and some of the guys who are down in the minors, which one of them is going to be the one impact player here? And Miles Straw, Nathan Lucas included in this. Just give me a name. Dave?
Impact guy off the bench. I feel like it's Lucas. I don't know why. I'm gravitating towards Nathan Lucas. I've liked him for a while, and I think he has the right profile to be a guy that is like a plug and play sort of situation, where you just put him in and he starts like whacking it. You know what I mean? So
gives you a professional at bat every at time, can steal you a base, plays good defense. Like, that's the type of guy every bench needs. Yep. Jesse, give me yours.
I'll say with my boy, good old Addison Barger. I feel like once he comes up, he'll be a man on the mission, prove them all wrong, and even possibly be an all-star.
I'll say no on that one here, but you do kind of need a guy on your bench that could just, you're down by three late in the game, there's two men on base, you need a guy who can just smack a three-run home run, right? Addison Barger could be that guy. I don't think the Blue Jays bench, as currently constructed, maybe Will Wagner can be that guy, but I think the lineup they're bringing north is missing that, and I think that might cost us a game or two early in the season. Next burning questions, guys. New hitting coach David Popkins. We've already touched on him earlier. We've raved about what he's done this spring. I think we got to ask the question, now that Don Mattingly is not in control of this offense, how will new hitting coach affect this team in like 30 seconds or less, guys, because we're running short on time. Give me something here on David Popkins.
It's going to be huge.
Quick, sweet, to the point. I think we're kind of buying, right, the swing changes. The swing hard at your pitch you can do damage on, and will help this team. Honestly, it can't be worse than what Don Mattingly was doing, right?
Early returns are good.
Early returns are good. It will be worth watching, especially when you look at the data to see how like swing changes are, to see what the Blue Jays kind of attack is at the plate. And if the offense does boom, like we know the players on this team can make happen, then we will be giving David Popkins and company a lot of work. I think it's a very important thing to watch this season. Into the second half of our 20 burning questions for the 2025 Toronto Blue Jays team is going to the starting rotation. And although we have a bunch of names, it's a pretty old starting rotation with only Bowden Francis in his 20s, and he's in his late 20s at that. So the question is, will our aging starting rotation be able to hold up for the long grind of the season? Dave, what do you think?
Largely yes, but not entirely. My thought on this is that most of the guys are going to be mostly healthy, but I do feel like someone's going to break down at some point in time for hopefully not a long time, but I definitely think we're going to see a couple injuries this year.
Right. And then that kind of leads into another question I had a little bit later. It's number 14, but where will the starting pitching depth come from, guys? Because I don't know if you've looked on the 40-man roster right now. Jake Bloss is the only name who is currently healthy that is also on the 40-man roster that is a regular starter on this thing. There is nobody else in this starting pitching thing. And I think if the Blue Jays do disappoint this year, it's going to be because one of our starters gets hurt, and we don't have enough quality starting pitching in behind them. Jesse, are we off base here, or how do you feel about this?
Definitely on base with like the worries of our depth, but I feel like our rotation is going to be like a fine wine, better with age.
Okay, I really do hope so, because we do need to say that. Now let's get into some starting pitches individually, and we'll start with Kevin Gausman, guys. And will Kevin Gausman get his velocity on his fastball or that movement on his splitter back? Now, early returns this spring are that the fastball velocity looked up. He did seem to be getting more sharp movement with his splitter, but in his last start in spring training, it kind of seemed to be down again. And then he went out and faced a bunch of minor league hitters and struck out like 10 of them. I'd hate to be a minor league hitter, by the way, who'd have to go up against Kevin Gausman. Seems like a rough thing to get, but he looked good in the second half last season. He's finally fully healthy. I think getting that back from Kevin Gausman can take him to the next step, take him another level forward, and show that he's not just getting old. He's actually going to be a good quality pitcher again, guys. Do we believe that, or do we believe that, no, it's father time is coming for everybody, Kevin Gausman included?
I think he's back, per se. Like, I feel like his velo and all his work, we can be back, but I don't think he'll have that strikeout rate like he had the first few years. So I think now he'll be more pitching to contact, which could be disastrous depending on where he's pitching.
But with this defense behind him, could be good too. So there is that. Dave, do you have a thought on Kevin Gausman?
Yeah, I think as far as what we've seen so far, that the velo and the movement is going to be back largely to what we expect. Whether that translates into him bouncing back to the form we saw 2 years ago is still remain to be seen. I'm, you know how the aging curve goes for pitchers. So we'll see. But I am optimistic.
All right, guys, next burning question for the Toronto Blue Jays. And Jesse, I'm afraid to start with you, but I will start with you on this one. And it is just a simple, who is the real Bowden Francis?
Top 10 Cy Young. Like he's not going to throw a no hitter every game. Like, we saw at the end of last year, but I feel like he's going to be a mix between what we had there and but a little bit down, like from those no hitters. Like, he's going to probably be a low 3 ERA with probably 15 to 18 wins.
Jesse, starting the 2026 season, Bowden Francis is where in your starting rotation?
The ace.
Oh, wow. Dave. That seems insane. That's insane is the wrong word. That seems wild. It is in the possible range of outcomes, I guess, but I don't think anybody other than Jesse here is predicting that. So you tell me, Dave, who do you think the real Bowden Francis is?
I think he's closer to the guy that we saw second half last year than he is to the guy that we saw at the beginning of the year. I do. Okay, and I think I've said it a couple of other times that, it felt more to me like a switch flipped, and that this is like the new mode that he's in. So yeah, I don't know if he's going to end up being, you know, ace caliber, or if he just settles into being a very solid middle of the rotation guy. But either way, you need guys of all stripes to make a starting rotation work.
I do think he's going to be good. I do think he might have the odd blow-up start here where he gets a little homer prone. The BABIP was really low, but also then maybe he's got the skill set that can induce a low BABIP. So you don't know if those are correlated or if it's luck or what it is. I'm very excited to see, though, what could happen. I do like that he finally had a good start, his last spring training start, too, because he was kind of poor this spring, so it was good to see that getting back together. To finish up the starting rotation, guys, Chris Bassitt. And can Chris Bassitt get his command back? We talked a lot last season. His season very much fell apart because he was just walking too many guys. I think one of my favorite stats, I brought it all last year, Kevin Gausman only had 2 starts all season where he didn't walk a batter, and they were both against the Chicago White Sox, and they were one of the worst offenses in the history of baseball, so it doesn't count. He's looked better this spring. He's been throwing a lot more strikes. I think with a better offense in front of him, he wanted to pitch as many high stress innings. So maybe he doesn't have to worry about being so fine with his pitches. There's a lot of ways this could go, but are we going to get anything here? Can Chris Bassitt get his command back? Jesse, I'll start with you.
I feel like we can get him back, get back to somewhat what he was his first year in Toronto. I feel like a lot of issues was he was trying to nibble too much on the edges of the plate, which again, it could go 50-50 and he wasn't getting the call. So hopefully he's a little bit more on the black where they can give him those calls on the outside or the inside.
Dave, how do you feel?
I'm neither here nor there on it. I think that at the age that he is, that it's getting to a point where you have to kind of condense the pitch mix a little bit and just focus on what's really working. So I'm hopeful that in the early goings here, he is able to identify with the pitching staff what's really working and what's really not, and then just focus on what is working to try and extract as much juice as is left.
I like the take. I like the take from both of you here. It's worth noting Chris Bassitt is historically a very slow starter. We want to see that be changed, be gone. That narrative needs to be over going into the, we need to see Chris Bassitt, that first start against Baltimore, shove. And we need to get that out of the way early here. Next, guys, Alek Manoah will be a big midseason talking point this season as he battles back from Tommy John. And I think the question simply is here, how will his return impact the club? Jesse, we'll start with you. How do you thought about Alek Manoah?
Oh, I definitely feel like it'll help. Just not even on the field, just having that depth, like finally like coming back from all our TJ pitchers that we have all through our system. But with him returning, I feel like seeing how he can finish last year before the injury and now seeing how he looks and how he was pitching in those few bullpen sessions we've seen, I feel like he could possibly bring that like Hyojin Ryu back in 23, that sixth starter where he's actually reliable and we don't have to use a bullpen day.
Dave?
I'm hopeful. I am. I know I said on the last time I was on that, or I think it was maybe our pitchers one, the pitchers one that you guys did, that he pitches best when he's really fired up. So yes. I hope that he comes back into this with something to prove, because obviously last year did not go how he wanted. The year before did not go how he wanted. So I hope that he's extra fired up to get back out there and prove everyone wrong and go back to the form we saw in his rookie year.
Yeah, at some point, this is really a make or break year for Alek Manoah, which sucks because he is coming back from Tommy John surgery. But at some point, like, you gotta either shit or get off the pot, my guy. Like, it's time to go. It's time to put it forward. Show that you can still be a key, valuable member of this franchise. Or else, you know, maybe it'll be a Chris Carpenter situation from years ago where the Blue Jays are just fed up of his injuries. He goes off to St. Louis and wins Cy Young Awards, which we will see. There's lots of different ways this Alek Manoah career path could go. And it'll be a very important decision late into the season, what we have. Two questions about the bullpen, guys. The first one, last year's Blue Jays bullpen was the worst in franchise history. And it's a big question mark of how will this bullpen rebound going into this year? Jeff Hoffman will certainly help. Re-signing Jimmy Garcia will certainly help. Losing Eric Swanson, Ryan Burr, and I guess Dylan Tate to a lesser extent will help less. So, gentlemen, first of all, how confident are we in our bullpen? And if you had to, I say, rank where you think the Blue Jays bullpen will rank among all major league teams this year, what number would you put them at? Dave, we'll start with you.
I like the top half.
Top half is great. Me too.
Blue Jays bullpen. I think our 1, 2, 3, 4 and to a lesser or greater extent 5 in the bullpen are all excellent options as long as they're performing the way that we know that they can. The last three spots is, again, I know I've said it before, but I really don't care whose name is on the back of the jersey as long as they're pitching competently. They don't have to be an amazing reliever. They just have to be able to do the innings and not get blown up every time out. So I wouldn't expect this to rebound to being like a dominant bullpen, but I would not be – I'd probably peg us as being middle of the pack in terms of where we rank in the league.
Honestly, we will take that after the disaster last year. Jesse, I know you have thoughts about this bullpen. What you got?
Well, hopefully they're not the blowhead, so the only way you can go is up, and Zach Loop can stay in that toilet down there.
He's been dealing with an injury right now, so he won't be out of the team out of camp. And I knew that would make you happy coming forth, and other Blue Jays fans too. I know I was on the Sports Avenue podcast, and they were with you, Jesse. They did not like Zach Pop at all either, and they were wanting to see him flush down the toilet. Dave, I think you nailed it with the real answer. It's going to be a bunch of different guys, and law of averages just tells you there's no way they can be this bad. I do think we're sleeping a little bit though on just how good Jeff Hoffman can be. He's been one of the best, like him and Emmanuel Clase have been two of the best pitchers in baseball over the last two seasons. And I think we're going to get more of that going forward. It's going to be electric to see what he can do here. Three more questions, guys. And the next one here is simple, guys. Jesse, you've already kind of touched on a little bit, but it's like, what will this team do at the trade deadline? And I think this is going to be the biggest decision for the future of the Toronto Blue Jays going past this 2025 season, because what you decide to do here says everything. Do you move on from pieces? Do you start to sell? Do you sell everybody? Do you do a soft sell, kind of like what you did last year? Or are we adding to this team to take one more run at it? I guess, yeah, I don't know. Tell me what you think will happen and what you want the Blue Jays to do. Jesse, we'll start with you.
It really depends on where we are at.
We're a 500 team. We're 2.5 games out of the wild card spot.
If we're in that situation, I would buy, especially because we're with all we need is a chance at the dance, and like we can take it all. I want to do like a major blow up the like farm system to get everyone, but I definitely would build. But if say we're fairly out of it, I would just say hit the nuke button and get what we can, especially if Bo and Vlad are having MVP caliber seasons.
Yeah, if they're having great seasons and we're still losing ball games, then yeah, you have no choice. You have to pull the plug and get ready for a long, long rebuild for the Toronto Blue Jays, because it's not going to be pretty. Dave, what about you? In that scenario, we're 500, we're 2.5 games out. You could argue we look good. We could argue we don't look good. What do you think the Blue Jays will do in that situation?
Well, I don't believe that we'll be 2.5 games out if we're 500. Personally, I don't see it happening with the division that we have to play in.
Okay.
But let's assume that it is the case and that is truly where we are. Then you have to read the tea leaves a little bit and say, are they extending Vlad and or Bo? Because if the answer is no, then they should be selling things. And if the answer is yes, then I think that they should be buying. But that's such a big hinge point. Right. Is this really does feel like a trade deadline that's going to be a huge flex point for where this team goes from here.
Yeah.
Too early to tell is my answer.
The worst thing that can happen for the future of this franchise is that we do what the Angels did with Shohei Ohtani. We'd be like, we're not going to let him go. Or like even to make basketball, what the Raptors did with like Fred VanVleet. We're just going to let him go. We're going to let him ride out the team here. And then you lose him in free agency for what, a second round comp pick? That cannot happen. That is absolutely zero chance that can happen this year. Two more questions, guys. I was running pressed for time. But the last burning question is, we know the Toronto Blue Jays farm system is one of the worst in baseball, bottom third by all metrics. What do the Blue Jays do to improve this farm system? And is it as simple as our new like draft coordinator just drafting better players and developing guys from the players we have? Or is it, do we find a way to get better players? Dave, how do we improve this farm system?
Unfortunately, it's not as simple as just drafting. It never is. I'd love it if we could just go out and hit a home run with every single pick that we get, but unfortunately how it works. You are going to have to restock from preferably other franchises that have a track record of being able to identify and procure talent. So I think this is going to have to be a hand-in-hand situation where you are making good picks. You have to make good picks. There's no way around that. But you do also have to marry that with some very smart trades or pickups or Rule 5 draft stuff. You have to be doing all of those things together to be able to rebuild a system. And it feels like the last while they've been trying to do one or the other, but not both. And that's right. Kind of where we are.
Yeah. I think it's hard to see how this team can really get better down on the farm without major subtractions from our big league roster. But Jesse, do you have a thought on how we can improve this farm system this year?
No, definitely. if we are entering the rebuild, then that'd be the way to like poach some of the prospects from other organizations. But realistically, we need a draft better, plain and simple. Yeah. We haven't had a stud draft, like sub-player from the first round. Possibly it'll be Trey Savage. You could classify him and all, but we haven't hit a home run in the draft since. I can't even remember. That's how long ago.
Yeah. Alek Manoah has been the only pitcher this Blue Jays farm system has developed that has accumulated more than one WAR in the major league since Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro took over. That's a decade ago. We've included one pitcher. Major fail for the Toronto Blue Jays in the front office. Which brings me to my last burning question that we're going to get through here is simply, what does this season mean and what does the future hold for general manager Ross Atkins and for president Mark Shapiro? Jesse, talk to me.
If you fail, it's time to sail.
I love that. Set in a rhyme, too. It's beautiful. Dave?
100%. This is their last dance. And especially considering what's on the horizon with Vlad and Bo, if you can't field a team that is able to do anything, in terms of getting to the playoffs, making it deep into the playoffs, that's it. They have to pull the plug. There's no other excuse at this point.
I'm with you. And I do think we will have one of them, if not both of them, let go before the end of the season, especially because we get to the end of their contract. I think the time is almost sailed, and they are putting their whole jobs, their whole livelihood here on the Blue Jays, getting off to a hot start. All right. That is our 20 burning questions to go through the Toronto Blue Jays season. We've covered pretty much the whole roster here. Guys, we're over the hour mark now, so we're getting to the end of the episode. But I just want to go round table here, and we'll hammer it out one at a time here. Just give me a name, guys. I want you each to give me your team, your Blue Jays MVP this season. Dave?
It's Vlad Jr.
Jesse?
I'll second that.
And make it three. So we all think Vlad Jr. is going to be team MVP. Did anybody want to shout out an honorable mention?
Anthony Santander.
Love that, Dave.
I'm going to go off the board here and say Ernie Clement.
I was going to say Ernie Clement. I guess I'll have to say Bo Bichette because somebody has to say Bo Bichette on here, so it'll be me. All right, guys. Cy Young, who is going to be the Blue Jays' best pitcher this season? Jesse, we'll start with you.
Who else would I pick? But Albert Francis.
Of course. You're a man of the brand. You got to stick with it. Dave?
Jose Berríos.
And I will go Kevin Gausman. I'm buying in fully of what he got there. So three different answers from the three of us for all here on the starting rotation. Guys, who will be the best rookie this season? So some guy who hasn't made the major leagues yet. I think Alan Roden's still rookie. Orelvis Martinez still rookie eligible. I don't think Addison Barger is, but who's going to be the best rookie for the Blue Jays this year?
It's hard to argue Alan Roden, so...
Yeah. If Barger was eligible, you know my vote.
Yes. I think it's going to be Alan Roden as well, but I do want to throw some love to Orelvis Martinez. Guy could just mash.
Yep.
And we do need spot up there on that one. Which player is going to be the biggest surprise this year? Jesse?
I feel like...
And take surprise any way you want, you know.
I feel like... If there's a fire sale, and this is off the board, I'll say Rainier Nunez makes it up to the big club.
Okay. Exit velocity monster. That would be a surprise for sure. Dave, do you have a surprise?
I think Will Wagner is going to surprise some people this year. Yeah. I've been high on Wagner for basically since we got him, and I really do think that this is going to be like a breakout campaign for him.
I love that. I love that call. The Blue Jays seem to love that as well. I'm going to go Nathan Lucas. All Nathan Lucas ever does is hit. He's done it his whole career. He's got a spot on this roster. He made this team. Professional at-bat guy. Kind of like his ceiling won't be super high, but I think he's going to be a nice, pleasant surprise and will be a fixture on this Blue Jays team for the next few years. Guys, biggest bust or the guy you think is going to fail the most this year? I'll start. It's George Springer. I don't think it can be anybody else, but I'll take the easy one off the boards. You guys can echo my answer or pick up your own. Jesse, give me yours.
Davis Schneider.
Ooh, ouch, that one hurts. Dave?
I mean, unserious answer, Miles Straw. Serious answer, Tyler Heineman. I don't know what it is. I've never been sold on him. He is what he is. I don't know.
Somebody's going to get a lot more at-bats than we think, though, in that backup catcher role. And right now it's Tyler Heineman, who I think has one home run in his career, maybe four extra base hits in his whole career. So, yikes. But we kind of need a pleasant surprise coming from that position this year, honestly. And there could be some trendy names there. All right, guys. And final question. Give me a win total for the Toronto Blue Jays. And where do we finish within the division? And Jesse, you're up.
Third in division, and I'm going to say 86 wins.
Does that get us a wild card spot?
Just barely.
Okay, Dave?
Wow. I was going to say fourth with 90 wins, and we don't make the playoffs. Wow. I hate to be cynical about it, but I have this weird feeling that it's going to be like a couple of years ago. Remember, we had 92 wins and we missed by like half a game or one game out, something like that. I just have this weird feeling that it's going to be a similar situation this year.
Guys, I'm going to go 79 wins. I think we finished just below 500 and fourth in the division. I do think we jump ahead of whether it be probably Tampa. We jump ahead of them or even the Yankees. Guys, I can see the Yankees falling to fifth in this division, but don't say that too loud. They don't like it when we say that about the Yankees. So there is that. Yeah, it's going to move. Well, I'm in Buffalo right now. So, you know, it is what it is here. Guys, any final thoughts? Anything else you wanted to mention to preview the Toronto Blue Jays season before we get underway this Thursday at 3 p.m.?
I'm disappointed they didn't do anything with tater tots for Tony Taters.
But at least we get blue cotton candy French fries at the Dome this year, right? It's something new we've got this year. Dave, any last thoughts before Jesse and I take this home?
No, I mean, I was going to talk about the food, too, with the cotton candy fries and the mini pancakes. I'm like, what's going on with this? This is crazy. But I think we've pretty much covered all the bases. I'm just excited to see the guys get at it. And that's about it.
All right, guys, thank you all for joining us. We've got everything covered here for the 2025 Toronto Blue Jays season. Note, in season, we do series recap. So our next episode will be coming at you Sunday night, where we recap the 4-game series against the Baltimore Orioles. And I would love to come on here and talk about a nice winning series, winning 3 out of 4 against the Baltimore Orioles. There's going to be a lot of baseball to coverage, a lot coming from us this season. Also, Jesse and I will be at the Dome on opening day. So if you want to come find us, we will be around. Send us a tweet, send us an Instagram message, find a way. We'll come hang out with you. We'll have a drink or whatnot. We're also going to be at the Amsterdam Brewery hanging out with our friends from Blue Jays today before the game. So make sure you come by, hang out with us there. It'll be a lot of fun. We're really excited. Scott Belford from the Walk-Off will be there as well. We are all very excited to go hang out with those guys. So please come by, have a drink, come hang with us, and cheer on the Toronto Blue Jays. And we'll be at the Dome a lot this season. So we are very much looking forward to that. Any last words, guys? Jesse?
Let's light up the season.
Slide of the season. We are officially in to the 2025 Toronto Blue Jays season. For David Fulton, for Jesse Tricio, I am Jesse Burrell. Thank you all for joining us. And let's go Blue Jays, and let's have a great 2025 season.
Let's go Blue Jays.
Woo-hoo.
Light them up.
Light them up, he says.